If you're drowning in debt and someone offers a lifeline, make sure it's not really an anchor. Hi, I'm Rob West. You have a few different options for paying off debt, but they're definitely not all equal. You have debt settlement, debt consolidation, and debt management. Neely Simon joins us today to explain the difference. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always a pleasure to have Neely Simon with us. She's a certified credit counselor with Christian Credit Counselors, an underwriter of this program. And Neely, it's great to have you back with us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Neely, we get calls from folks who need clarification about the different kinds of debt repayment plans. So it would help to go over these in detail and explain how each works. Does that sound all right?
Sounds great. I'm ready.
Let's do it. All right. The one people ask the most about is debt consolidation. Sounds self-explanatory, but there's more to it, isn't there?
Absolutely. So debt consolidation loans are often appealing because your debts are rolled into one loan, which usually has an interest rate between 15 and 22%. Depending on your credit score, and it allows you to keep your accounts open. It's attractive because it's a quick fix. However, it doesn't require changing your spending habits, which can potentially lead to doubling your debt in a hurry, making it a dangerous solution for many people. Proverbs 13:11 says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it."
Yeah, let me just affirm that. I have talked to countless callers who go with the consolidation route. They call me back 6 months or a year later and say, guess what? The credit card debt is back, but now I have the consolidation loan on top of it. So changing the behavior is key. All right, Neely, another method for getting out of debt is what's called debt settlement. I'll go out on a limb and say that you're not a fan here either. Tell us about it.
Not a fan at all. So debt settlement companies use unethical practices because they're not transparent with the consequences and can be very misleading. Debt settlement companies require that you stop paying your creditors. So you destroy your credit, and it can be almost as damaging as a bankruptcy. The other thing you need to take into consideration is the amount that is written off is taxable income, and you will receive a 1099-C at the end of the tax year. But most importantly, creditors start seeking legal action after a year, give or take, of non-payment, which can result in a lien on your property in most states and potential wage garnishment. So as Christians, we are called to pay back our debts and take responsibility for our actions. Psalm 37:21 states, "The wicked borrows but does not pay back."
Yeah. All right. We've only got time for one more. This is, of course, my preferred way, and it's what you offer at Christian Credit Counselors. It's debt management. Explain that to us.
Sure. So credit counseling offers a debt management program that really enables you to get out of debt the right way because you honor your debt in full. We're able to lower your payments and your interest rates. You continue making monthly payments to each and every creditor on the program. The payments are just made through us and are consolidated into one monthly payment. You do need to be aware that the accounts you choose to enroll do get closed by the creditors, but you're not required to enroll all of your accounts. And then our interest rates will range in between 1 to 12% APR, allowing you to pay off your debt 80% faster from a biblical approach. Yeah. Proverbs 3:27 states, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it."
That's well said, Neely, and that's why this is my preferred option to get you out of debt once and for all and change your behavior in the process. The team at Christian Credit Counselors leads with education, so it's a free consultation as they educate you about your options and how debt management works. It's also a biblical solution in that they're going to pray with you, encourage you, and really journey with you in your faith at the same time you're addressing your debt repayment. You can check them out at Christian Credit Counselors. And Neely, we're so thankful for our partnership with Christian Credit Counselors over a long time. We appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much. God bless.
That's Neely Simon with Christian Credit Counselors. Again, that website, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. All right, a quick break and back with your questions today at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we're just getting started. Don't go anywhere.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. You and I can pray anytime and anywhere. The question that frustrates so many Christians is, why don't I? What's keeping me from praying like I want to? I can say that personally, even if I'm on my knees regularly. Our busy schedules, distractions, and phones just get in the way. Jesus knew distractions would be a problem, not to mention the public perception of others. In Matthew 6, after speaking about those who liked to pray in public because others would admire them, Jesus had this to say, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen." Prayer is about coming before God and abiding in His presence. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit GetAnchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Our God is not a conglomeration of doctrines and dogmas for us to memorize. No, God is a person. We have the opportunity to know Him, and He has revealed Himself to us through His own Son, Jesus Christ.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series in Ephesians, Belief That Behaves, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian Credit Counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian Credit Counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Delighted you're with us today as we come alongside you to encourage you, to help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We've got some lines open today. We're ready to take your phone calls. That number to call today, 800-525-7000. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Before we dive into those phone calls today, in the news, Americans are still splurging on travel and entertainment, even as credit card debt tops $1 trillion. That's exactly right. That's trillion with a T. Revenge spending is not dead. The credit card balance total right now, $1.14 trillion. And we're still seeing splurging on impulse purchases. It's a phenomenon also known as doom spending, or spending money despite economic and geopolitical concerns. Roughly 38% of adults plan to take on more debt to travel, dine out, and see live entertainment in the year ahead, according to a recent report by Bankrate. Just over one quarter, 27% of those surveyed said they would go into debt to travel this year, while 14% said they'd dip into the red to dine out, and another 13% would lean on credit to go to the theater or see a live sporting event or perhaps attend a concert. Some of that reflects a you can only live once mentality that intensified during the pandemic, and some of that is because of many economic indicators, including GDP growth and unemployment rate, are in favorable shape, although deteriorating rapidly. Younger adults, particularly Gen Z and millennials, were more likely to splurge on those discretionary purchases, Bankrate found. Although an increased cost of living has made it particularly hard for those just starting out, young adults are taking a more relaxed approach to their long-term financial security. Other studies show rather than cut expenses to boost savings, 73% of Gen Zers between the ages of 18 and 25 said they would rather have a better quality of life than extra money in the bank. That's from a study by Intuit. Gen Z workers are also the biggest cohort of non-savers, according to a separate Bankrate survey. You put all that together, and the bottom line is whether you're, no matter the generation that you're in, we have to take a step back and say, you know what, everything we have is entrusted to us by God. We are stewards and therefore accountable for how we manage God's money, and we need to live within our means. Once we recognize lordship, that is, that God is Lord of all and the owner of everything, and therefore we're stewards, and now money is a tool, this next foundational idea is we've got to spend less than we earn. And I realize that's harder now than ever with expenses up across the board, but we've got to have a plan. We've got to dial back spending. We've got to live within our means. I think that's really the blocking and tackling, if you will, of faithful stewardship. And really the only way you're going to do that is to have a plan. Now, that plan can look different. It can be a physical envelope system. It can be an Excel spreadsheet. It can be the FaithFi app in the palm of your hand on your smartphone. Whatever works for you is key, but you'll never be able to live within your means without that plan. And when we create it, that budget, we can't stick it in the drawer. We have to have a system to control the flow of money in and out. So hopefully that's an encouragement to you today. We would encourage you to pick up that app, FaithFi app, if you don't have a way to manage your spending at faithfi.com. All right, let's dive into some phone calls today. Again, we've got lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Florida. Hi, Charlie. How can I help?
Your show and enjoy your message that you have every day. I like listening to it and gain some insight into things.
Well, thank you.
Before I ask my question, I just can I make a comment about what you just said about the Gen Z. And
absolutely. And yeah, go ahead. Thing.
So my take on this is this, that they've watched their parents save money over the years and pretty much build a nice nest egg, but it takes some kind of medical tragedy or something to the fact where they have to spend all their money in a, say, a medical situation or to some kind of tragedy that happens to the family. So that life savings they spend saving is gone. And I'll give you an example. My dad worked for Exxon for 30-some-odd years and took the early retirement. Got a huge sum of money, like a $500,000, and he invested it with Ever Water Jones. And he let them pretty much manage his money, and then when the market crashed in 2008, a huge amount of his money was gone. So he has pretty much his whole life savings is gone. And then the little bit that he had left, he was encouraged to let it stay in there. It'll come back up, and he did, and it ended up not having. So he's 81 with nothing. He's living on Social Security. And most young adults seen it happen, like myself, seen it happen to my parents. So I didn't want that to happen to myself. So what I started doing is started looking into investments and started investing everything, not for saving, put money into stocks and other things of to try to build wealth that way instead of just sitting back saving money, because if you get some kind of tragedy happen, it wipes all out their whole savings out. So I kind of it from that standpoint there. The saving is not just a way. That's why some kids don't want to save, because they feel like, I want to enjoy my life now, because if I get to that point where something happens to me, then my savings is gone.
Yeah. And I think we have to have that balance between protection and provision, right? So we've got to provide for our families. And we know that part of our role as stewards is to, you know, put a portion of what we receive today away for the future. And I think you're right. We need to invest that and put that to work for us. And yet the idea of protection comes from God. And so we can't insulate ourselves from all the challenges of this fallen world that we live in. We trust and depend on God for ultimate protection and provision. But we've got to live in the tension and find that balance between what do I spend today? What do I save for the future? And clearly in the Council of Scripture, we see that we're not to spend everything we see, we receive. We're to save as Joseph did for the years of famine. And as we see, you know, modeled throughout the Old and New Testament. But it's a point well made, sir. And I appreciate you weighing in on that.
You're welcome. So my question to you today is I have a property that I'm planning on selling. Had it for over 15 years. Got maybe 13 years of payments left on it, and it'd be fully paid for. Owe about $180,000 on the property that I have. Originally, I bought it for $387,000. I got it on the market for $475,000. I got a lot of people calling asking to purchase the property. And I was trying to, you know, I heard your show when you're talking about at when the interest rates are down, people come out to Woodworks and buy a property. And you also said that when the interest rate is down, I mean up, people are, I think you said it's 33% of people are buying property and everything. I get a lot of investors calling me trying to buy the property, and they try to undercut me on it. And I'm saying they're coming out to Woodworks, like you're saying, if the rate was down. So I'm asking, should I hold on to the property and wait till the interest rates go down and try to get more money for it, or should I just go ahead and sell it now?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking these investors see something that's going to happen down the road. And I know a lot of people invest in real estate. And if you know about Jacksonville, Jacksonville has the most land per capita in the United States, period. So there's a lot of development properties are being built left and right, apartment buildings, you name it, complexes. I mean, it's just people coming from California, from New York on into Florida, and it's exploding down there.
Yeah, great. Well, that's a great question. Let's do this. I'm going to take a quick break here. If you'll hold the line when we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on that. Certainly an interesting and in many respects challenging housing market. We'll talk about how to navigate it just around the corner. 800-525-7000.
There's a valid reason why more and more people are becoming disillusioned with the mainstream media. It's the same reason more and more people are turning to American Family News. They're tired of all the fluff and propaganda, and they're looking for a news source they can trust. Whether it's politics, world events, or events here at home, you know it's accurate news on current events from an evangelical Christian perspective. American Family News, on the air and on demand at afn.net.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. We exist to help our supporters to leave a lasting legacy for years to come. We would love to speak with you regarding your situation to help put in place a lifetime income while also giving to the ministry of AFA and AFR. You can reach out to us by phone or email at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We started the program today talking about paying off credit card debt. By the way, if that's you, you have some credit card debt, and especially if it's over $4,000 in debt, we'd encourage you to check out our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Before the break, we were talking to Charlie in Florida, and Charlie is wondering about selling a home. He has a second home that he'd like to sell, and he's wondering if this is the time to do it or if he should hold on to it and wait to see if interest rates come down. And you know what I would say is, Charlie, and he unfortunately was not able to hold, but you know, the reality is whether or not it's the right time for you to sell is largely dependent upon what you're going to do with the money. I would say, you know, you trying to wait out a better housing market is not really the best approach. And here's why. You're right. Interest rates are going to be headed down. The Federal Reserve has made it clear they will be lowering rates, and we expect that to happen before the end of this year and certainly continue into next year. And lower interest rate environments do create more of a seller's market just because there's so many buyers flooding in. However, there's some big caveats to that. One of them is we see the economy deteriorating pretty rapidly right now. Manufacturing is down. The gross domestic product is slowing. Corporate earnings are coming down. Unemployment is rising. All of that indicating that, yes, although the Federal Reserve is going to lower interest rates, there's a decent likelihood that we'll be in a recession at some point in the next year. Could it be deeper than we expect? Absolutely. Would that affect the housing market? It certainly could and would likely affect it. So I would say, you know, let's look at this investment as something that has likely performed very well. Florida real estate has done well. You've got a good bit of profit in it. You know, there are still plenty of buyers out there, even though inventories are growing on homes across the country. And if you've got a plan to redeploy that money elsewhere and perhaps invest it in a more passive way, in the stock market, then I would say this is a great time to sell. I would go ahead and execute on that plan. And if you're planning to buy another piece of real estate and you're going to roll it forward with maybe a 1031 exchange to push the capital gains down the road, I would go ahead and do that now. So bottom line is, I don't think this is an environment to try to wait it out for a quote better real estate market, just given the possibilities of what could be coming in the next year or two. We appreciate your call today. We've got one line open, 800-525-7000. Let's continue with your phone calls. Headed to Ohio. Hi, Charlie. Go ahead. Charlie, are you with us? All right. We will see if we can get Charlie on the line. We'll head to Texas in the meantime. David, go right ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. Hey, longtime listener and first-time caller.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for calling today.
I've got my wife and I have had a timeshare in Florida for years, and it's fully paid off. It's fully current on everything. But we're ready to exit it. And so we've been in contact with a company called Last. I told the screener, Last.
Last resort is what I hear, see on my screen here. Yeah.
Last Resort Consulting. That's right. And, they have another company they work with called Switch It. I didn't know if you were familiar with either of those or if you had any other recommendations.
Yeah. Well, first of all, just kind of to the general idea of trying to exit timeshares, it is challenging. Don't ever get calls from people looking to get into timeshares, which just kind of drives home the point that these are bought, not sold. And what I mean by that is, you know, often the people that are getting into them are based on somewhat of a high pressure type sales environment. And then there's usually a lot of regret down the road. Now, there's undoubtedly some out there listening today that have timeshares and love them. We just don't get those calls. And so, you know, I think the challenge is, you know, as you want to exit them, there's just very limited options because there's far more supply than demand from those looking to get out of them. You know, the best way I've found is to either try to do a timeshare deed back if the company will take it back, especially if it's paid up. That would get you out of the ongoing maintenance fees. You could try to sell it in a users group. The largest in the country is called tug2.com, T-U-G, the number 2.com. That stands for Timeshare Users Group. You could try to give it away. You could try to list it in, you know, the newspaper or online. I mean, there are some options. None of them are great. In terms of hiring an exit company, you know, although there may be some that are legitimate out there, David, I've just never found one in all the years that I've been doing this that I would have confidence in recommending. So I would say, first of all, kind of my default position is don't try to pay somebody to get you out of these just because there are, you know, so many that are scams. And even if they're legitimate companies trying to act in good faith, they just have such limited success and often charge high fees. And so it's just kind of insult on top of injury. You know, if you did decide to go ahead with one of these, I would read a ton of reviews. And what you will find is that there's a lot out there. There's a number of them out there called Last Resort. So you would just want to make sure that you're reading the reviews on the one that you're actually working with. But the bottom line is, unfortunately, just because of my experience and doing this for a long time, I wouldn't be able to recommend that strategy. And I would just say, do your homework before you do anything to try to get out of it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much, Rob.
Yeah. I wish I had better news, David, but you can do this and hopefully you'll find a way to get out from under it. I'm sure, you know, that'll be a blessing to you if you can navigate through that. I would probably start with the company that you purchased it from and see if you can make some headway there. All the best to you, sir. Thanks for being a regular listener to the program. We were delighted to have you on with us today. Well, folks, we're going to take our next break. We've still got half the program remaining. Plenty of room for your phone calls today. We'd love to help you navigate your financial decisions and choices in light of biblical wisdom. We're going to head to Scott, Maryland, right around the corner. Teresa's been waiting patiently in North Carolina as well. But we've got room for you, 800-525-7000. Call right now. We'll be right back.
19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit GiveShoesToday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's GiveShoesToday.org.
Grief is common to all humanity and yet unique for every person. The world offers little hope, but Christians can grieve differently. For some, it's the greatest test of their faith. And for every Christian, it's an opportunity to know Jesus better. I'm David Wolin. Join me on the next Haven Today in our series, Christians Grieve Differently.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. Thegodwhospeaks.org.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, as we approach the money conversation, these are really hard issues. You know, money issues tend to surface with the practical decisions, the dollars and cents that we're allocating on a daily basis. But underneath those financial transactions really are heart level issues. You know, if something is going to compete with God for first position in our lives, the way I read scripture, it's most often going to be money and the things that money can buy. And so that's why it's so essential that we guard our hearts and we insulate ourselves from the messages of this world. That's why we press into God's word and try to live with a biblical worldview. And that's what everything is about here at American Family Radio, helping you see and approach life through the lens of scripture. And that includes your money, realizing that money is one of God's good creations to give and to provide and to enjoy and even to invest, to deploy in a way that promotes human flourishing and can grow the assets for even greater enjoyment or giving down the road. So that's all a good thing. The challenge is when it becomes the object of our affection and devotion. Here's what Paul David Tripp, the author and Bible teacher, says. He says that money is one of God's good creations, but this good thing becomes a bad thing when it becomes a ruling thing. And I think that's where we need to check our hearts and really be on our guard and say, you know what, has money become my pursuit, an end for me? Or is it a means to an end to accomplish God's purposes? And that's what we want to do, is we direct you toward God as your ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish his purposes on this show every day. But we realize you have very practical decisions that you're navigating each day, and we want to help you with those. We've got a couple of lines open you can call right now, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Maryland. Hi, Scott. Go ahead, sir. Oh, excuse me. It's Missouri, it looks like. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, good morning. It's all right. I'd like to have some fresh seafood. So all we got is a muddy water catfish here, but I'll trade that for the fresh seafood on the East Coast.
There you go.
So my question, Brother Rob, is my mother-in-law's, you know, getting to a point where she absolutely can't drive anymore. She wants to give my wife her SUV, and so, but her uncles want to put her into Medicaid. So in order that we don't get some big bill from the IRS or the state of Missouri that says, hey, by the way, fair market value on that vehicle that you got from your mother-in-law, we need to collect this extra money. What would be the best way to approach getting this car that she so desires my wife to have from her? The uncles have said, well, we'll sell it to you for a dollar, or, you know, whatever like that, you know, that kind of deal, or we'll just gift it to you. What's your thoughts?
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's not an easy way around this because you're exactly right. I mean, you do need to think carefully about the transfer of that vehicle when you're applying for Medicaid, because there are implications related to the Medicaid rules on asset transfers. So first of all, there's a 5-year look back period during which any transfer of assets for less than fair market value can result in a penalty period of ineligibility for Medicaid benefits. And that's why this is important. So that means if a vehicle is gifted or sold for less than its fair market value, it could absolutely trigger her or affect her Medicaid eligibility. So generally what would happen is you would sell that for fair market value. That's the safest approach. But that means determining its current market value, selling it for that amount, and the proceeds, of course, would need to be handled carefully to ensure they don't push her over the Medicaid asset limit. But unfortunately, there's not really a way around that if, in fact, its value would cause her to exceed that, because, again, gifting it or selling it for a dollar is going to be considered a transfer for less than fair market value, and that's going to trigger that penalty. And that penalty is calculated based on the value of the asset transferred. So what I might suggest that you do would just be to consult with an elder law attorney. You know, just given some of the complexities and potential penalties involved, it's always good to consult with an elder law attorney who can provide you some guidance based on the current Medicaid rules and the specific circumstances. If you do go ahead with it, you certainly want to document the transaction and ensuring that you have the paper trail there and showing that you did establish the fair market value for it. And then you've got to have a plan for the proceeds as well. You know, so if the vehicle sold, you want to plan on how the money will be used or managed to assure it doesn't affect Medicaid eligibility. So that might involve spending down the proceeds on allowable expenses or using them in a way that complies with the Medicaid rules. Does that make sense, though?
It does make sense. I mean, she's not on Medicaid yet. I just want to make that clear to the, you know, she's moving in that direction.
Okay. Yeah, and but because of that 5-year look back, it could affect her eligibility if she tries to sell it for less than fair market value. That's where the penalty is going to come in. So I think your better option is to establish fair market value, sell it for that, and then, you know, follow allowable spend down options, you know, spending it down for allowable expenses, or again, using it in a way that complies with Medicaid rules prior to her applying for Medicaid, since she's still going to be in that look back period if she does that anytime soon.
Well, thank you so much, my brother. Can I go to the Lord in prayer for you, brother, real quick?
Well, I'll never turn that down, Scott. Yes, sir.
Okay, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for Rob. We just want to thank you for all of the wisdom that he gives us. We trust you, Lord, with all our heart, and we don't lean on our own understanding and on our finances either. And we just want to thank you for this, brother, and his wisdom that he's given us to love you, Lord, and not love the possessions that we have, and don't make them idols. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this network. Thank you for Rob being on this network. And we ask you in Jesus' name to shelter him and protect him and bless him as only you can bless him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. That's very kind, sir. And Lord bless you. Call anytime. Let's head to North Carolina. Hi, Teresa. Go right ahead.
Hi. Well, I'm 60, so I'm getting ready to try to retire. And I have two pieces of rental property that I want to sell. Okay. I expect after the realtor and all that, I should have about $250,000, which is basically my whole retirement. Okay. So I was trying to...
Oh, unfortunately, I believe we lost you there. So let's do this. We'll try to get you back on so we can hear the rest of that question, and then we'll go from there. Unfortunately, we had the line drop. Let's head to Ohio. Hi, Charlie. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for your time, and I apologize for the call earlier dropping.
No problem.
I received a property from my father, a home. He does still owe approximately $125 on the home. So my question was, would it be beneficial to, it's in Georgia, okay, to renovate, because it does need roughly like $20,000 worth of renovation to renovate and rent, or would it be beneficial to sell? And that's because he hasn't refiled tax returns in about 7 years, so I'm not sure if the selling of the home would fall on my tax return, or if it, I would have to do a final tax return for him.
Yeah, great questions. All right, let's do this. Quick break, and I'll be back with my thoughts on that right after this. We'll be right back. Stay with us, folks.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
Every day we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. In our last segment today, we'd love to hear from you, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. That number to call, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Charlie in Ohio. Charlie wants some advice on whether to sell or rent out a home she's inherited from her father. He has not filed a tax return in probably 5 years. Charlie, generally what's going to happen there is that there is going to be that last final tax return that needs to be filed as a part of closing out the estate. And if there are taxes that are owed for some of those years where he has not filed, that would need to be settled and paid to the IRS before anything would be paid out. And there is a scenario where, you know, the IRS could seize a home that was inherited from a deceased relative with tax problems. And so all debts of the estate have to be settled before any beneficiary inherits anything, and that includes paying off the IRS. Do you know, once that final tax return is filed, do you know if there's assets there to cover any tax liability that's owed?
Well, there's everything in the home, and then the remainder of what was left in his bank account.
Yeah. Okay. So I think, you know, where are we in that process? Are you the executor?
Yes.
Okay. And have you filed with the probate court and started that process of settling the estate?
No, he just passed away a couple of days ago.
Okay. All right. I'm so sorry to hear about that. Yeah, so that's going to be the next step, Charlie. So I would kind of sit on the home at this point, you know, as you
walk through the mechanics of filing with the probate court, settling the estate. Hopefully, you know, there was if there was anything owed, it's modest. And, you know, in that final tax return that needs to be filed, you know, you will uncover what that amount is that's owed, if anything. And then you can take care of that out of the assets of the estate. It may involve you selling the home so you have the assets, the liquid assets, if it exceeds what is available in his, you know, checking account or other types of accounts. Beyond that, though, the decision on whether to rent out a home or to sell, I think, is largely dependent upon your situation, unless you're forced to do so to settle the estate. And that would mean, you know, do you want to be a landlord? Is that the right thing for you? Do you have the kind of staying power, if you will, to, you know, make sure it stays maintained and deal with, if you're going to rent it out, maintenance issues? If a, you know, a toilet is clogged in the middle of the night, who's going to be the one to respond? And you've got to market it, make sure the taxes are paid and the property insurance. I mean, you know, I like real estate investments, but, you know, it's not a passive investment by any means. And so I think, you know, you've got to look at that and say, is that where I want to go? Or would I rather just go ahead and sell it, realizing we're still in a fairly robust economy, even though it's slowing? You know, housing market has been strong. Prices are still high, even though the rate of increase has slowed. You know, this might be a good time for you to go ahead and liquidate it and then deploy those assets in other ways, perhaps doing some giving, maybe paying down or off any debt that you have personally, or just taking it and hiring an advisor and investing it in a way that is certainly more passive through stocks and bonds. You know, apart from settling the estate and anything that might come out of that, what feels like the best option for you as you think about your values and goals moving forward?
I'm actually very torn on that. I've been praying, and I feel more towards the selling, because I think about repairs that have to be done, hiring a management company, since I am in Ohio and the home is in Georgia. So I just think the pros and cons are, the cons are a tad bit higher for me right now. So that's what it is, but
I certainly resonate with that, Charlie. And I think, you know, you mentioned a management company, and that would be likely what you'd need to do. That's probably going to run you about 10% of the rental income that you're bringing in. So that's just going to, you know, beyond the maintenance and the upkeep and the taxes and the insurance, you're going to have that management fee on top of it. If you have a mortgage, if there's still a mortgage on the property, obviously the debt service is, you know, going to chip away as well at that rental income. But, you know, not only being a landlord, but being an absentee landlord just creates more complexity, because you're not there to put eyes on it and just kind of be involved in it day to day. So I think that makes sense to me. And then that would give you an opportunity to take a step back, see this as a blessing from the Lord, you know, as your an inheritance from your father, and then really just pray and think through, okay, Lord, what would you have me to do? What are my next moves here with regard to the options that I have, giving, debt reduction, or investments? And, you know, you can move forward from there. So hopefully that, you know, helps you with some things to think about. I think the next step for you, though, is to get that estate settled. Let's figure out what is owed to the IRS. And I think that may make the next step even clearer as you think about this home. Lord bless you, Charlie. I'm so sorry to hear about your dad's passing, and we appreciate you being on the program today. We're going to head back to North Carolina. Teresa, I understand we have you back with us. I'm so sorry we lost you. So you have a rental property. You have two properties, in fact, and you believe that the value is about $250,000. What was that question specifically that you had on those properties?
I was wondering, since this is kind of like my retirement, how to best shield it from tax, especially like capital gains, just yearly tax, that sort of thing.
Yes. Well, so because these are rental properties and not, you know, your primary residence, then you're not going to have that home exclusion on capital gains for a primary residence. So really the only options that you have there in terms of how you might, you know, not have to pay the capital gains would be, number one, if you wanted to make one of them your primary residence. You know, that's usually not an option for most folks, but it is something to consider. If you could move into one of them and live there for, you know, at least two out of the 5 years prior to selling it and converting it to a primary residence, that would allow you to exclude it. The second would be a 1031 exchange where you'd, you know, sell it and buy a like kind property, but that would involve you staying in the rental property business. You know, beyond that, you know, the only other option would be for you if you wanted to do any charitable giving. You know, perhaps you have some giving that's planned out of cash, maybe in a current checking or savings account, and you wanted to move that over and give that out of the proceeds of this sale of the home. You could take a portion of the property, even a very small percentage of the property, and give it to a donor advised fund in your name prior to the sale, and then that portion of the property would avoid the capital gain. But apart from that, you are likely going to pay, you know, for most folks, a 15% capital gain if this is a property you've owned for more than a year. It would be a long-term capital gain. So for 2024, you know, if you have taxable income, which includes the proceeds of the sale, between $47,000 and $518,000, which is, again, where most people fall, you would pay 15% on the gain. So that's the selling price minus the original purchase price, minus any improvements that you made, not maintenance, but improvements, and then, you know, any transaction cost to sell it. You'd be left with the gain on both properties, and then it would likely be a 15% long-term capital gain tax.
Well, what about an investment into an IRA? Wouldn't that help kind of keep me from having to pay taxes on whatever I put in there?
Well, so those are two different, you know, tax treatments. So the capital gain has to be paid regardless on the sale of the asset, and that's a long-term capital gain tax, which is going to be the 15% for most folks. Now, could you then offset that with a deduction on your income taxes, which again is separate from your capital gains taxes, by making a contribution at that point to an IRA? You could. You would, though, be limited only to $8,000 for the 2024 contribution limit, which is for those 50 and older, and only to the extent you have earned income up to at least $8,000, which you likely would because you haven't yet retired. But that would only allow you to deduct $8,000 of this year's taxable income. That would not in any way offset directly the 15% long-term capital gain. Does that make sense?
Well, it does, but my IRA, it does offer me the chance to deposit to this year or next year. Could I put in both and then cover myself for next year as well?
You would not be able to do that until we roll the calendar over into 25. So you can't contribute early. The only time you can ever contribute for 2 years at once is if we're if you're sitting in the first part of the year prior to filing your previous year's taxes, you can make a contribution for that previous year prior to filing. So if we're sitting here on April 1st and you're about to file for, you know, let's say your 2024 taxes, it's April of 2025, you could make your 2024 contribution even though you're in 25, and then turn around and make your 25 contribution at the same time. But that would be the only way you could contribute at 2 years at once.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling today. Lord bless you. We appreciate you being on the program. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. So thankful for your encouragement. You guys are the best. And we love hearing your stories, being invited into those stories, being able to journey with you and help you find God's heart for the resources he's entrusted to you. We also appreciate, as always, your kind remarks about the program today. We certainly couldn't do this without our amazing team that helps us make this happen today, our call screeners, as well as our producer, Devin Patrick, and our researcher today, Taylor Stanridge, plus everybody here at FaithFi. Had a caller today actually listening on the AFR app. And so if you haven't checked that out, we'd love for you to download the AFR app. You can listen to all of the broadcast day live through our streaming service right there in the AFR app. So be sure to check that out. And you can also check out the FaithFi app if you want to set up your spending plan at faithfi.com. Well, we will leave it there for today and ask you to come back and join us tomorrow. In the meantime, may the Lord bless you. Thanks for being with us today.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.